Good morning, church, and welcome to another Lighthouse podcast. For those of you who may be tuning in for the first time, my name is Jeff Glenn, and I'm a pastor here at Lighthouse, and it's my pleasure to go through the Word with you each week and see what the Lord has for us. So let's open in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your Word, the encouragement that we receive from it, and the instruction, and on the occasion when we need some correction and rebuke, Lord. So we thank you that you have your Word for us today, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So when we left off last week, Paul was encouraging the church at Philippi to focus and think deeply on those things which would help them resolve their conflict, rather than further the debate or get into any more of the drama. He wanted them to focus on preserving unity. So now he's turning his attention to their care for him, and we see that in verses 10 through 13. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly now that at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So it's interesting to me that almost as soon as Paul commends them for their provision, he makes a point to assure them that he hasn't experienced lack in that gap from when they had previously provided for him and today. And so that's instructive for me. He's sitting in a Roman prison, and he's showing great care for how they might receive his words. While he's commending them for their giving, he's also understanding that they could see his words as maybe a subtle hint that he's gone without due to their neglect. And so with Paul, you'll see no passive aggressivity, right? He's very straightforward in his words. And so he's considerate of how they might receive his words, which are they're meant to truly encourage them and to show them his appreciation for their practical assistance. So rather than emphasize his need, Paul chooses to amplify their generosity. And he goes on to assure them, and in the same way assure them that he wants them to continue to learn from his example. So as one who is more mature in the faith to those who are in need of mentoring, or as Christ calls it, discipleship, Paul uses every opportunity in his letters to provide instruction and encouragement on how to live for Christ. And so we see in verse 11 what he's learned. It says here that and that's also a lesson. So we see that he says, not that I speak in regard to need, for what I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. So Paul, he began his journey following Jesus, and he needed to learn things, right? So he didn't come to follow Jesus once he had learned all things about Jesus. It was in his need that he came to know Jesus. And so he needed to learn some things. So that must mean that we too need to learn a few things, right, on our similar journey. So we know that parents of two or more children know how much the younger siblings learn from their older siblings, right, for better or for worse, right? So in much the same way, Paul is encouraging his younger siblings in the Lord to learn from him. And so what he's saying is, don't focus on the negative. Fight for unity. Don't focus on what you have, whether it's nothing or whether it's a lot, right? Find contentment where you're at. And so that's what he's saying at the end of verse 11, that he's learned to be content in whatever state. And that's important, right? Because as we continue to remind ourselves, he's in a Roman prison. He's under the threat of execution, right? That could happen at any moment, or he could continue to stay in prison and rot, essentially. So he's not no control over his state other than he's confined, death penalty's hanging over his head, and he doesn't know when that may or may not come. And he's content. So that's remarkable to me, because content is defined as a state of peaceful happiness. So Paul is peaceful. He's happy where he's at in this Roman prison. And he goes on to qualify it, lest anyone would say something like, well, of course Paul's content. You know, he wrote half the New Testament, and he's the Apostle Paul, and everybody knows who he is, and he's famous, right? But Paul, here he is in this abased state, a time of need, right? And that's when he's writing this. So he says, I know how to be abased, or I know how to live humbly without much material provision. And he's also saying, I know how to abound or to prosper and have a lot of provision. So he doesn't place any greater value on one or the other, which we might say it's greater to have a lot, right? But Paul doesn't make that contrast. He just says he's learned to live in either state. So we see this contrast, we see this Paul's attitude with a contrast in Proverbs 30, 8 and 9. So the writer of Proverbs 30 says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. So really Paul's saying, been there, done that with both, and I've kept my focus on the Lord. And so even in this, he doesn't take credit for that, right? He gives honor to Jesus. And so this is one of the handful, even in Philippians, of verses that's quite often quoted out of context or misapplied, when he says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But we need to remember that this is connected to being able to maintain a focus on Christ in both our material abundance and our material need, right? So we need to take these verses with us, right? This is context. We take the verses that are previous to what we're reading and bring them with us to give us the context that we need so we know what we're reading, so we can properly apply it. So this verse may be on a lot of sports teams' swag, right? But it's less connected with winning a competition, and it's more connected with being connected to Jesus in our every circumstance. And so Paul would explain it this way to the church in Rome. In Romans 8, 25 through 39, he would say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so I know that our lives over the last few years have been sort of kind of a roller coaster, really, right? Depending on your present circumstances, you may feel like you're still in that, or maybe climbing up a hill or careening down the other side on these ups and downs. And what Paul is saying here, and what in my encouragement that I took from this is, you know, take heart, right? Those highs and lows and those uncertainties do nothing to separate you from the love that we have in Christ Jesus and the assurance of our salvation and our sanctification and our eternity with him. We're separated from that by nothing, right? Our present circumstances don't affect that in the least. So I hope that encourages you today to find contentment in Jesus and for his sake, and no matter what, right? So I hope that blesses you today. Have a great week.